And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Carnival Corporation won't be bringing any of its cruise ships to Alaska this season. That's following Wednesday's announcement that its subsidiaries, Princess and Holland America, had canceled all remaining Alaska voyages for 2020. Carnival Cruise Line canceled its brand of cruises earlier this week. The absence of Carnival-owned cruise lines removes the largest industry player from Alaska this year. Tourism Management Best Practices, a Juneau-based trade group, says nearly 80% of sailings for the 2020 season are not going forward. That's a loss of nearly a million cruise passengers to the state, according to the group. Coastal communities will bear the brunt of the economic impact. Raincoast data says cruise visitors are 90% of visitors to Southeast Alaska. The path forward is unclear for cruise lines that have not canceled sailings. A federal no-sail order currently remains in effect for large cruise ships through July 24th. Critical ports in the region are also closed to large cruise ships. Canada's ports are closed to large cruise ships until at least July, and Seattle's cruise port remains shuttered until Washington State's emergency declaration is lifted. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, Alaska had been projected to shatter all previous records by receiving 1.44 million cruise passengers. On Tuesday, the U.S. Treasury and Interior Departments announced they would begin disbursing part of an $8 billion tribal allocation for coronavirus relief funds. The CARES Act funding is to help tribes with relief efforts in the fight against coronavirus. Only about 60%, or $4.8 billion, will initially be distributed based on tribal population. President Donald Trump spoke on Tuesday with indigenous leaders at a roundtable in Phoenix, Arizona.
So the amount of money that's being sent to Indian country, as we call it, is the largest amount in the history of the U.S., and you deserve it, and you've been through a lot.
The remainder of the tribal allocation will be distributed at a later date based on employment and expenditure data for each tribe or tribally owned business. The secretaries of Treasury and Interior are being sued by tribes who say the departments mishandled the tribal allocation and for the inclusion of Alaska Native regional and village corporations. In a statement, the Department of Treasury says amounts calculated for Alaska Native regional and village corporations under ANCSA will be held back while the lawsuit is decided. Legislation that dials back rate increases at Pioneer Homes has been signed by the governor. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, last year's rate hikes more than doubled rates for some residents at Alaska's six state-run long-term care facilities.
Brad Ryder spends a lot of time visiting his parents at Juneau's Pioneer Home. Before the coronavirus led administrators to restrict visitors, he says he stopped by just about every day.
The other residents, the people that work there, they all basically become family.
But then Governor Mike Dunleavy announced a $12.3 million cut to the Pioneer Home system. Clinton Lasley, then the director of the Pioneer Home system, sent a letter to residents last February saying the state's fiscal crisis required the department to essentially earn what it spends. He told a House committee last year that one way to do that was to charge more to people who could afford to pay more. The rest would be covered by payment assistance outlined in state law.
Then it would be a true needs-based system, and we're not subsidizing those individuals, for example, that may have the ability to pay for the services.
But that meant big rate hikes for people like Brad Ryder's parents.
My mother's went basically overnight from just over $4,000 a month to well over $11,000 a month.
Ryder says at one point the state advised residents to look to public assistance, which he found insulting.
They see that as a handout. They've worked their lives saving every nickel and dime they have.
And even then, qualifying for payment assistance would mean his parents had to pay full price until their savings were essentially drained. So Ryder was among those who took the state to court. He, his parents, and Ketchikan Pioneer Home resident Eileen Casey filed a class action lawsuit to block the rate hikes. State legislators were working on a parallel track. Anchorage Democratic Representative Zach Fields introduced a compromise bill to slow the rate of increases for residents and their families.
We heard heartbreaking testimony when the rates were raised that the higher rates were going to break up families and force families to send their elderly loved ones down to lower 48. I mean, those are horrible decisions for anyone to have to make.
Fields acknowledges that rates had to rise somewhat. They hadn't kept pace with costs. But he says when rates did get raised, they often jumped by quite a bit.
Basically, over the past decade, you've had somewhat volatile rates because they were adjusted irregularly through the regulatory process.
House Bill 96 proposed smaller increases, a $400 monthly hike for largely independent residents, and a $2,500 rise in the rent for residents with more complex care needs. And the bill ties rates to Social Security benefits. Those increase every year with what's called a cost of living adjustment.
And this bill establishes a much more predictable process where the rates are going to maintain the same real value by being linked to inflation.
He says he hopes that'll offer residents some stability. Though the bill was initially opposed by four lawmakers in the House, final passage was without opposition in both chambers. Dunleavy signed the bill on April 29th. A spokesman for the governor didn't offer any further comment. Juno's Brad Ryder says that even though his parents' rates will still be higher than they were before last year's hike, he says he's satisfied.
I think the outcome was absolutely wonderful. I don't think we could have done any better. Our seniors definitely deserve this, and this is a wonderful end.
Ryder's attorney says he's planning to file paperwork to get the residents' lawsuit dismissed. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
Last Friday, the governor amended how much money municipalities would receive from the $1.5 billion the state received in the Federal CARES Act. Three Alaska boroughs would get considerably more funding under the new distribution plan. KOTZ's Wesley Early reports.
When Governor Dunleavy signed this year's budget, it came with a whole slew of line item vetoes that he said could be made up from federal COVID-19 relief money. He's since walked back that sentiment. During a press conference Monday, he said he originally believed that the money could be used to make up for revenue shortcomings.
It was our understanding, when I say our understanding, many governors, that the impacts of the pandemic on states, including municipalities, as a result of the business shutdown, as well as the expenses for dealing with the pandemic would be covered by the federal government.
Under his original distribution plan, the Northwest Arctic Borough would have received a total of $1.2 million in community assistance from the CARES Act. Borough Mayor Lucy Nelson says that amount was considerably less than what the region normally gets from the state.
Normally receive $4 million for reimbursement and then also a $300,000 community assistance program amount.
Governor Dunleavy says he revised the distribution plan after talking with municipal leaders around the state. He says the state overlooked some factors when calculating the original amounts. The new plan gives considerably more funding to the Northwest Arctic Borough, the North Slope Borough, and the Kodiak Island Borough. He says the additional CARES Act money for those municipalities was diverted from funds originally designated for health and social services. The Northwest Arctic Borough is set to receive about $4 million under the governor's revised distribution plan. That's about three times what they would have gotten under the old plan. Nelson sees it as getting closer to what they generally receive anyway from the state, which she says is vital.
But it's pretty close to, and it's, to me, it's better than the 50% school bond debt that we received.
She says the borough doesn't have a lot of pots of money they can pull from. The borough receives most of its revenue from an agreement with Tech Resources. That company operates Red Dog, a zinc and lead mine 80 miles north of Kotzebue. That agreement can't be negotiated until 2026. And Nelson says raising taxes on residents is almost impossible due to most Northwest Arctic borough communities being economically distressed. Nelson says moving forward, a big question for boroughs across the state will be how the CARES Act funding can be used.
You know, we can only spend it for what the distribution plan says. If we can't apply it to school bond debt, then they'll probably ask for the money back. So it's not really clear. We're still not really sure.
Governor Dunleavy says the state is hoping to get clarification this week from the state legislature and Congress on how CARES Act money can be spent. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
A 10th Alaskan has died due to the coronavirus. It's the first death since April 13th, according to new data from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. The man was a resident of Anchor Point. He's the first person to have died on the Kenai Peninsula. In early April, a resident of Anchor Point died from the coronavirus out of state. The resident had pre-existing conditions and tested positive for the virus after he was hospitalized about a week ago, according to a joint statement by the City of Homer and the Kenai Peninsula Borough Office of Emergency Management. State data shows that the victim was over 80 years old. A single new case of the coronavirus was reported on Wednesday. The case was reported in Tok. That was the first time the coronavirus had been reported there.